Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about strongholds. We're going to be talking about the weapons of our warfare. And this is a big subject, takes in a lot of the subject of spiritual warfare and how we deal with the enemy in our life, how the enemy comes against us, and how we can deal with him, and how we can make a plan of attack, a counterattack when he attacks us. And so this is going to be an appropriate subject for every single person, whether you're a believer or not. If you are a believer, you know about spiritual warfare. You know that we have attacks from the enemy. In fact, you have a bullseye, a big X on your back that the enemy uses to strike against you. The wiles of the enemy, the fiery darts of the enemy are coming at you all the time. And if you're not a believer, you can change that situation today by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can become a believer. You can walk in freedom. And you can know the joy of heaven on earth. You can know the joy of walking in Christ and being a born-again believer through the power of Jesus Christ's blood in your life. Well, again, if you have your Bible there, turn it to 2 Corinthians 10, and we're going to be talking about the weapons of our warfare. Paul, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthians, and this is the second letter to the Corinthians. He is talking to a bunch of baby Christians, a bunch of baby believers. They did not have a New Testament to help them with their walk. They did not have conferences to go to. They did not have books to read. And they had, most of them, probably not even the Old Testament. They just had the apostles teaching them, the bishops and overseers teaching them. And so they were very new to the faith. And so Paul is giving them the basic groundwork principles of spiritual warfare and how to deal with the attacks from the enemy. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. And verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or are not fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Well, let's go back and look at verse 3 here again. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Well, what Paul is referring to there, each of us has a fleshly body. Each of us is recognizable by our fleshly body. People see our face, they see our body, they see the recognizable parts of us that we can be spotted and people know who we are. But we do not war according to our flesh. We war according to the body. You can't go against your enemy if you're a good boxer or you're a kickboxer or you're a karate expert or a judo expert, or maybe you're good at handling swords or machete. You can't go against your enemy in the flesh and win any battle. You cannot go to the weight room and get strong enough to be a warrior against the enemy of your soul. And so we war not with our flesh. We don't have fleshly weapons. We don't have carnal weapons. But our weapons are spiritual weapons because the battle is spiritual. And the battle is unseen. That is to say, you see the consequences of the battle. Many times sickness and all kinds of evil come about because of the consequences of the battle. And of course, in America, we're dealing with mass shootings as one of the consequences of the spiritual battle over this nation, over the heart and soul of this nation. And it's ripping and it's tearing and it's causing lots of bloodshed of the innocents. And so there's a spiritual battle that you see the manifestation of it, but the actual weapons that we use as born-again believers are not carnal weapons. They're not fleshly weapons. And so you can put your gun down, you can put your sword and your machete down, and you can put your billy club down. Your weapons are mighty in God. It says in verse 4, your weapons are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Well, that brings up the good question, what are the strongholds that he is referring to there, here that the Apostle Paul is referring to? Well, the strongholds are the iniquities and the pathways, the habits, the habitual repetitive habits of sin that become established in a person's life. When you encounter the enemy, he tries and sends his demons and he tries to make inroads into your life. And beloved, if you give the enemy any inroad into your life, if you give the enemy any pathway, any agreement, any attachment into your soul, into your life, then that will, according to the enemy's plan, he will use that pathway, he will use that entryway and try to expand it to bring more demons into your life, more repetitive sinful behavior, more iniquity, and it eventually becomes a stronghold that is like a fortress or a big wall around your soul, and the enemy establishes those fortresses, those strongholds in your soul and in your life to the point where they seem like they cannot be moved, to the point where they seem like it is an insurmountable task. It is a mountain that is controlling and dominating your life, and it cannot be moved. And so this becomes then a stronghold, just like in a military term, a military sense, a stronghold would be where the enemy or the opposition is set up and they are very hard to move out. It may be at the top of a cliff. I remember when I was in the Canyon de Chelly down in the Navajo Reservation, there was a vertical cliff. I don't know how high it was, maybe 1,000, 2,000 feet high. And a third of the way up this cliff, there were cliff dwellings hollowed out of the cliff. And this is where the people in the canyon retreated to, the Navajo. They retreated to these dwellings that were carved out of the cliff, and they took rope ladders up with them. They pulled the rope ladders up after they got up into the stronghold. They pulled the rope ladders up, and so it was virtually impossible for any enemy to get to them. They were in a safe and secure place, and they could not be reached. They could not be attacked in the place they were at, and so it was a very formidable stronghold that they had set themselves up in. And so the enemy sets up strongholds within our soul, within our spirit being, within our soul, and because we give him legal ground, because we give him a place to reside, we make agreements through sin with the enemy, and the stronghold then becomes an established fortress within our soul, and it becomes very, very difficult. As I said, it becomes an almost impossible task without the help of Jesus. It is an impossible task in many situations, and these strongholds take the form of suicide, they take the form of drug use, they take the form of alcohol use, they take the form of pornography and lust and lying and cheating and stealing, all the different manifestations of the devil in a person's life. These strongholds then start to direct the behavior of the person, and they eventually lead to calamity. They eventually lead, in the devil's plan, to death, because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." So that is the thief's plan. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. And so that is why many, many people today are all wound up and trapped in illegal drugs and even in all kinds of depression and anti-anxiety drugs and antidepressant drugs and alcohol use and all kinds of other errant behavior and crazy behavior. And so the enemy is having a heyday in the lives of many people, not just in America, but here in Africa and places wherever Christians are established. The enemy is having a heyday and leading many people to premature death and destruction. And so Paul says that these strongholds can be pulled down using the weapons that God gives us, the weapons that we have to use to pull down these strongholds are mighty in God. Well, beloved, when you start to understand that God gives you the weapons, when you understand that Jesus Christ went to the cross, he shed his precious blood for you so that you could be set free and out of the bondage of sin, so that you could walk in freedom and you could walk under an open heaven, you could walk in the glory that God has provided for you. When you start to understand that and you start to see and understand your identity in the blood of Jesus, your identity as a new creation, as a born-again believer, and that you're not going to be whipsawed and you're not going to be beat down and you're not going to be defeated by the enemy. You are going to be victorious. You are going to be a conqueror. You are going to have joy and peace in this life because that is God's will for you. You're going to be the head and not the tail. You are going to be prosperous and you are not going to be in poverty and unable to pay your bills. And so the weapons that you choose to use must be from God. The weapons that you choose to use against the enemy in your life, you must access and utilize the weapons that God has given us as born-again believers to take on the enemy of our soul. And beloved, we can rest assured, we can know without any doubt that these weapons are effective. We can know without any doubt that these weapons are the weapons that Jesus himself used when confronted by the enemy, when confronted by the devil. These very weapons that he used are the same ones that we have access to. And so you need to learn what these weapons are. You need to learn how to use them. And you need to understand your identity in Christ Jesus so that you're no longer at the whim and at the wiles of the evil one. So I'm going to go down the list here of the different weapons, and that's about as far as we're going to get today, probably, is just to discuss the weapons and how we can use them. And so the first, I have a list here of five weapons, which I think are very effective. I'm sure there are many more than this, but these are the main ones that I see as being the most effective weapons and the ones that we have to rely on. First of all, the weapon of prayer. Prayer is the contact. Prayer is the channel by which we access God. It is the channel by which we position ourselves before God. And you don't have to have any rote prayer. You don't have to have any ritual prayer. You don't have to write your prayer down before you recite it or before you speak it or read it. You just speak from the heart like you're talking to your father or your best friend. You just start speaking from your heart and speak what the Lord wants you to speak. Speak what you want him to hear. Put it all out there in front of you and just pour out your heart to the Lord. He already knows your needs. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. And so just put it all out there before him and let him deal with it and ask him to come to your help and rescue. So this brings up the question, how often should we pray? Well, we can pray without ceasing. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, pray without ceasing. And again, that means when you're walking, when you're driving, when you're up early in the morning, when you are ready to go to bed at night, pray without ceasing. Just pray. You don't need any formal place to pray, although you can have your secret place. That's great to go into your secret place to pray, but you can also pray while you're working. You can pray on the move. You can pray in your car. You can pray as you are taking a shower. There's many places that you can pray. There's no limit. That's the good thing. You don't have to have airtime. You don't have to have a phone. You don't have to have a program. And you just pray whenever the Lord puts it on your heart, whenever you have a burden on your heart or an intercessory request for a person, a community, a family, a nation, you just start speaking to the Lord. And if you go to your secret place, that's wonderful. That's great. I think everybody should have a secret place. The Lord says, when you go there, pray ye like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, that is the Lord's Prayer, or the prayer that he taught the disciples to pray. And he said, pray ye like this. But it is not necessary for us to have a copycat prayer or a rote prayer. You just pray what is on your heart. You let the Lord know your needs. He knows them anyway. And he will respond in kind. In what you pray in secret, he will respond in secret. And he will let you know in one way or another. He will let you know that he has heard your prayer. That Lord's Prayer comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, and we call that the Lord's Prayer, or should better be called the Disciples' Prayer, because Jesus said to the disciples, pray ye like this. Well, another passage of Scripture regarding prayer, Romans 8:26, Apostle Paul is saying, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For when we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, or groanings too deep for words, some translations say. And so when you rely on the Holy Spirit, you're never going to be lacking for something to pray. Sometimes you don't have the right words. Maybe you're in so much agony, you're in so much pain, you are so broken and heartbroken. There are times in our life sometimes when we just get broken down, and all we can do is just cry out to the Lord and say, help, Lord. And sometimes those groanings too deep for words can be speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, and it can also just be utterances such as, Lord, I need your help. Lord, show up. I need your help. Show me your way. It can be a very simple prayer, but the Apostle Paul says that the Spirit intercedes for us. It makes intercession for us with groanings that are too deep for words. And so, beloved, get down on your knees, cry out to the Lord. Maybe you've been a person that you've never prayed much in your life. Just cry out to the Lord. He knows your heart. He knows your walk. He knows where you're at and where you're going. And so it doesn't have to be anything formal or fancy. Get started pouring your heart out to the Lord, and he will respond to your prayers. All right, so the first weapon that we have is prayer. The second weapon that we have, I consider to be a very powerful weapon, is fasting. The Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says in Matthew 6, verse 16, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Well, beloved, you listened to that and you heard Jesus say, when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast, he says, only let your Father in heaven know that you're fasting. Don't make a sour face so everybody will feel sorry for you because you missed your breakfast that morning. And if you fast, when you fast, open up your heart to the Lord, cry out to him, wash your face, pretend like everything is going great, praise the Lord, thank him, lay your requests out to the Lord, and he will reward you for the sacrifice that you have made when you fast. Well, Isaiah 58 is the most comprehensive teaching in the whole Bible regarding fasting. I'm not going to teach a long time on fasting here today, but the fast is talked about extensively here in Isaiah 58. And starting in verse 5, I'm going to read this scripture down to verse 8. Is this a fast which I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush, to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, God says, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke, Is it not to share your bread with the hungry that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and do not hide yourself from your own flesh? In verse 8, then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And verse 9, this is the capper, this is the culminating verse of this scripture and the culmination of fasting. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Well, beloved, that is the reason we fast. It isn't to try to manipulate God or wrangle favors away from him. The whole idea of the fast is to position yourself in a place of humbleness, position yourself in a place of humility before God, and to cry out to him, make your petitions known, and to divide your bread with the hungry, and to bring into your house the poor who are cast out and the naked who have no clothing. Then Isaiah says, your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. When you fast, beloved, things are going to break loose in the spirit realm. Things are going to break loose in the chains and the strongholds that have hindered you from your walk with the Lord. I highly recommend fasting. I fasted a lot in my time of service to the Lord. I fasted a lot. 3-day fasts, 5-day fasts, Daniel fasts of 40 days, 28 days, 70 days, all types of fasts. And so when you do that, you're going to see the chains break off of your spiritual life, and you're going to see the power of God come into your life and move in your life like you have never seen it before. Well, the third weapon of our warfare is the study of God's word. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, Paul says to Timothy, study to show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so Paul says to study. He says, spend time in the Word so that you know what the Word says. Beloved, when you start to spend time in the Word and you start to study the Word, you are going to see your life start to change. You're going to see that Word held up in front of your life like a mirror, and it's going to be a reflection, and that Word will divide and conquer the devil in your life. The Word will sort out the bad from the good, the light from the dark in your life, and that word that you read and that you take into your heart and into your soul, that word is going to set you free in a way that you are going to seek the word, you're going to be hungry for the word, you're going to be quoting the word, you're going to be hiding the word in your heart, and the word will become food to your soul and your spirit. Well, Paul talks about it in Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so the word of God is like a sharp sword. It cuts between the soul and the spirit. It cuts between the bones and the marrow, and it even can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so when you start to read God's word, your thoughts then start to become a reflection of God's word. Your heart starts to have passion for God's kingdom. Your heart starts to have a reflection or be a reflection of the word hiding in your heart. And so the word of God can change your life. I strongly urge you, I strongly recommend that you get a time to read God's word every day. Get up early in the morning if you have to. Stay up later at night. Find some time. Maybe go to your park or someplace quiet during your lunch hour. Spend some time reading God's word, and you will see your life begin to be transformed. You will see your life start to change, and it will change for the better. Well, we still have a couple of more weapons of our warfare that we're going to take up in the next message, and then we're going to also be talking about the obedience to Christ and how to tear down these strongholds, how to use these weapons to tear down the strongholds in your life. Well, beloved, I hope you have enjoyed listening to this message. We bring these messages each and every week to you as a ministry of Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, and I thank you for listening. We invite you to be a part of supporting this ministry. We invite you to be a part of supporting these radio broadcasts to keep these messages coming, and also to further the work in Africa. We've got a beautiful children's home we have built over here in Kenya, and we're in the process of registering this as a children's home, and also preaching crusades in places in East Africa. We were just in Kisi down in southern Kenya, had a very successful crusade there, and then we are going to Tanzania in September for a big crusade with worship leader Bonnie Maitegi, one of the most famous worship leaders in all of East Africa. And we'll be there with Bonnie for 5 days, bringing the good news of the gospel to the people of Tanzania. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.